good. That was off the record anyway. Cool. He needs his vent.
It was on the D-Lo.
Turning the radio.
All right. All right, let's do this in 3, 2, 1.
Looking for something to represent your sport, but you don't want to look like another mall rat wannabe? Then head on over to TapperSleep.com. TapperSleep has serious gear for serious fighters and serious fans. While other fightwear companies spend their money on a big bust and funny costumes, TapperSleep spends theirs on their clothes, giving you stylish, durable gear that'll hold up under the toughest conditions. Whether you're rolling on the mats or rolling down the street, TapperSleep has a wide selection of t-shirts, hoodies, and hats for men or women. So head on over to TapperSleep.com right now and get your gear today. TapperSleep. Seriously. Good. Fightwear.
Somebody call the ambulance. Rear Naked Radio.
Yeah, somebody call ambulance.
Welcome to Rear Naked Radio. I am Paul Scorcher Laporte. With me, as always, my co-host Jeff Shooter Graham and Irish Derek Kenny, and joining us fresh off the boat from Australia. Sure, we'll say you're in Australia now, Bowman.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Guys,
yeah, just say that I'm still in Australia.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, I'm going to fucking take you out. Sorry, not you. Not you, the guy on the side of the road.
Oh.
If you happen to be out on the road near Blake Bowman, run!
The Road Warrior, Blake Bowman, joining us on the show. Oh, shit, that's a badass nickname. You should do that.
Oh,
I always
thought Tom Cruise was better.
There you go. Jonathan Goulet doesn't need it, for Christ's sake. Okay, so welcome to
Rear... anybody earned the nickname the Road Warrior, Jonathan Goulet.
That's true.
Or Carlos Newton or Blake Bowman.
Yep. Thank you for joining us. Today we got... nice little review of UFC 110. Nogueira and Velasquez took place last night from, well, last night, this morning, I guess, depending on what time zone you're in, from Sydney, Australia.
Good night.
We're going to have a nice little romp through Shooter Sack, and we're going to have the witty banter of Blake Bowman throughout it all.
Yes, that's right. Blake's going to terrorize the show. It's awesome.
Terrorize the show while he's terrorizing other motorists.
And while Blake is here, we can pretty much guarantee that Irish Derek Kenny will have next to nothing to say.
So it's going to be a good show.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I can't see anything. Nothing bad here.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. So we doing the sack first, or do you want to do UFC 110 first?
Hells no. Go to the sack.
Are you sure? Because isn't there going to be a lot of 110 news in the sack?
Just don't worry about it.
Right,
if I do all the 110 news during 110.
Okay, fine. For Christ's sake.
I dropped off coal, so now here I am.
Awesome.
Right.
We
on the side of the road.
Full attention. Just off them out of the car.
And is he taking the guy out that you were going to yell at back there?
What's that?
Is Cole out there beating up the guy who you were going to hit?
No, I was taking him back to his car. We went and ate, and he hasn't seen my new place yet. So we just went because he's kind of in between places. We're not living together anymore. I bought a new place. I took him to see my new place or whatever after we ate. It's not really great when I explain what happened.
I'm sorry. Why in the hell did you play that again? Is that, I mean, I'm done? Is that the wrap up of my segment?
I just wanted to remind you.
Oh, that I have a segment to do? Yeah. All right. Chris, son of a bitch. Fine, I'll do the damn sack. All right, hey, everybody. Today is February 21st, 2010. Welcome to the sack. All right, here we go. Bellator is looking for a ring girl. Who cares?
Kenny,
I do.
Get on it.
Get on it.
We need a source inside Bellator.
You can go
How
fight.
The heck am I supposed to pull that off?
Why not?
Mini skirt? Heels?
Hey.
Get a tan, maybe? I don't know.
For sure, get a tan.
Yeah.
Definitely get a tan. Yeah. Nobody likes pasty white, man. It just doesn't work.
That one ring girl in the UFC is really tan.
The African-American one?
Oh, she's African-American?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I thought she was black.
Yeah, something like that.
He's black. Oh. Okay.
Okay, let's see. Alistair Overeem is talking. Who cares?
Alistair Overeem is talking.
Yeah, that's about it.
Alistair Overeem is
fight
talking. Not defending the Strike Force title ever.
I swear I'll do it at some point.
Yeah, I
Please
will
don't
fight
strip
Fedor.
Me. Please don't
it
strip me.
Happen.
I will fight him eventually.
2012. I'll be there
as soon as I can find the right pharmacist.
Okay. Kimbo Ball talked about the possibility of fighting Gegard Mousasi under the Strike Force banner.
Wait, who did?
King Mo.
Oh, I thought you said Kimbo.
Yeah.
I was supposed to say, what?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that would be funny, too.
That would be hilarious.
King Mo said, I don't need to sign nothing. He can forge my signature. That's how ready I am. That's how bad I want it. Obviously,
well,
he must
make
be a little...
sense at all.
Yeah. He said, obviously, he must be a little worried if he's talking about Mo don't deserve a fight. If they came to me saying, Mo, fight so-and-so, I'd fight him. I'd fight my mama. I don't give a damn.
Coming up in this Strike Force card, King Lowall versus his mother.
His mother, Mama Lowall.
Versus Mama Lowall.
Mama Lowall. He says, I know I'm ready. I think people are just buying into this hype of how good Mousasi is. Yeah, the hype.
The hype that he's walking
he's really
through every fighter he's faced. That hype.
I love this. He goes, but they don't understand. The past don't mean nothing to me.
That's fine.
Yeah, okay, what are you put
Fedor who? He beat what? I don't care.
Yeah.
That ain't nothing.
When you fight him too,
in Mo's defense though, man, that guy is super legit.
Oh
sure.
No, he is. Absolutely. And I'd like to see him Mousasi in there, but to say, you know, just you're kinda going about it in a silly way there, Mo, but
I don't understand what you can force my signature means. I mean, if you're the one begging for the fight, then what then Alright, we'll show him, we'll forge his signature.
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Shane Carwin says he feels he has what it takes to beat Frank Mir.
I hope so.
Yeah, who cares?
Maybe.
Alright.
I hope so.
I'll give it my best effort.
I hope that someone does. Soon.
someone can do it. It might as well be me. All right. Rampage versus Rashad is definitely on.
Woo!
After going into a brief retirement following his stint as one of the coaches on the most successful season of The Ultimate Fighter to date,
BS.
We can confirm that Quentin Rampage Jackson has signed the official contract to fight Rashad.
It only took him 6 months.
It's going to happen, probably, most likely, for sure, probably. Yeah.
And, oh man, I don't even want to talk about it. God, I'm so disappointed in Rampage.
Yeah.
Isn't it, you know which event it is?
I think it's 114.
Okay.
So what?
Exactly. Nobody cares.
I'll be interested to see the fight when it actually happens.
I mean, I'll watch it. I'll watch it when it happens, but I'm not going to sit around holding my breath, my fingers crossed for it, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's just like my season of Ultimate Fighter ended, and Matt Serra and Matt Hughes didn't fight, and then they finally fought, and you know what? Who's even seen that fight? Like if those guys would have fought within 2 months at the end of Tough Six, that fight would have been three times more buzzworthy than when they actually fought. Nobody cared.
Right.
They spend all this money to build up one winner and two to four other competitors from the show, you know, specifically speaking, they're going to hang around. They invest all this money to make these guys names, but really they're also investing just as much money to build up either the coaches coming back for their title, or the coaches fighting each other, or whatever it may be. And so whenever that doesn't happen until a year later, shrug.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be some more interest for this fight than there was for Hughes and Sarah, because when Hughes and Sarah was going to be lined up originally when you guys had your season going on, Sarah was still the champ.
Was still the champ, yeah.
So, you know, it's not like, you know, there was a belt on the line. It's always just been about animosity between the two. I'm not saying there's going to be nearly as much steam going into this thing as there would have been, but I also think that Rashad and Rampage both have big enough mouths that they're going to be able to build the hype back up for this.
That's fair. And, well, I guess there is still title implications for either guy, I guess.
They're currently ranked 2 and 4 right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoever wins this definitely could be considered in the hunt.
Right.
And Rashad did just beat Thiago Silva, which he would not have done had they had fallen after the show. So,
right.
So it almost kind of helps his stock a little bit more than it does Rampage's, who's kind of got a shoulder shrug reaction from the fans about, oh, I thought he quit to do movies and now he's back, and who cares about Pride anyway, and whatever.
Right.
So it looks like the deck's kind of getting stacked to benefit Rashad, how everything against him to lose out of this, and for Rampage, you want him to just have to fight a fight, which is good. That's when he fights the best, I think, is whenever he's just fighting a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, what else? Oh, yeah, that fight will be at UFC 114, May 29th in Las Vegas, for all you people that really care.
Woo!
Okay, speaking of Matt Sarah, Matt Sarah says Matt Hughes is in for a rude awakening.
Oh, what now? What now, Sarah?
Well, you know, Hughes is fighting Gracie, who is Sarah's...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Kendra, so.
His master.
Yes, his master.
Yeah.
You will not defeat my master. You will bow down to my kung fu. And Henzo also says that this is about honor. He has no personal problem with Matt Hughes, except that, you know, Matt gave his cousin a deathly beating.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
But he says this is for Gracie Pride and honor.
Is Matt Hughes becoming like the second coming of Sakuraba? Is he just going to make his career fighting Gracies now?
I hope not.
No, they cut Holes, but,
Yeah.
Bring back Holes.
A rude awakening? I don't understand what about Matt Hughes is in for an awakening.
I don't get that either.
Matt's underestimating Henzo.
Well, the thing is, Matt isn't, though.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
Matt has gone on record as saying that he thinks he's facing the most dangerous current Gracie, and he really likes the guy. He says he couldn't say anything bad about him because he's a really nice guy, and he's just going to go into it and do business, and that's that. And he hasn't been cocky about it at all.
That's the way that you have to fight Henzo, though. You have to fight him like it's a day in the office, because it's not. That guy's so charming. He can come in and sweep you off your feet, and if you go out there, like, he's another one of those guys that's been doing this whether he wanted to or not his entire life. And so he's one of those guys that's just impossible to rattle. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, I mean, you can't shake him. You can't shake him up. So if you're not going in there just to handle business as usual, then you're going to lose, because he's always going to be the cooler, calmer, usually more experienced fighter, you know. So you have to fight that guy like it's a day in the office, which I personally also really, really, really liked him, though, before and after I met him, you know, for sure. So, but, yeah, you have to go out and just fight that guy like this, like we're professionals, let's touch gloves and be friends afterwards, because anything else is not going to benefit you.
All right.
I'm trying to say.
All right. The other thing, I got one last thing here. A little bit of a spoiler alert here. For those of you who don't know, Mirko Krokop won his fight last night. But he named the next person he wants to fight. Any guesses?
Big Nog.
Ben Rothwell.
He did say he was going to have to fight Ben. He believed that was already done, a done deal, assuming he won that fight, which obviously, you know, those of you who saw it, he did. He said if he could pick his own opponent, he would fight Dana White.
Really?
That's what he said.
That's awesome.
And he made no, he didn't crack a smile. He made no explanation that he was joking. He didn't say, he didn't come out. He just is like, yeah, if I could, he goes, I don't know, I'll fight whoever they tell me to fight, you know, whatever. And if I could pick my opponent, I'd fight Dana White.
Okay.
And that was all he said. Yeah. And then he walked off.
And so, that
that's crazy considering that that guy is lucky to have a job.
Yeah.
After everything that went down, where he signed the contract and then
tried to go to Dream.
He completely did everything with Dream. He really, you know, really sat everybody in the back. Nobody was happy about it. They were, you know, they gave him his job back, and then he put on the performance that we saw in Memphis. Right? It was Memphis, right? Dos Santos?
I believe
Yeah, it was Dos Santos.
Yeah. So, and then he put on that performance. He's lucky to still have his job, man. I don't understand what his beef with Dana White is. He should be thanking him.
I agree.
Yeah, that's strange. I don't know. There's clearly something that went on behind the scenes there.
Well, you know, he's not press friendly. He doesn't go to any of the press conferences, none of the PR events, nothing. He just shows up, and that's why, I mean, this guy literally caught him. It was a little video blurb I caught off the internet, and they literally caught him walking out of the arena. And they're like, yeah, who do you fight next? Who do you fight next? He's like, yeah, well, he goes, you know, I'll probably have to fight Rothwell next. That's what they were talking about, because he got sick. But if I had my way, I'd fight Dana White. And he got into his car and left.
Huh.
Okay.
Weird guy, man.
Think Dana will do it? He might. He's got
right. He was going to fight Tito. And the Tito at that point in time, and the crow cut we've been seeing lately are you know, not much different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if worst comes to worst, you fight Tito, you're getting taken down and dry humped for 15 minutes.
They're going to do a boxing match, though.
Okay, so you're going to get...
You for sure don't want to do one of those with crow cuts.
Yeah.
No.
Guys been known to have hard punch, hard kick attack.
Yep. Okay. Interesting. I'm sure we'll find out more. I'm sure Dane will have something to say about that. Is somebody check his Twitter, for Christ's sakes?
I don't know what he's gonna say. I don't know what he's gonna say, but it's just fuck.
Yeah, a lot.
Dane Truth. White Twitter.
Go to it, Kenny.
You go, Kenny.
You're not
do
doing
your
anything
work.
Else.
Do work, son.
I'll pull it up. Dane and I follow each other. I'll pull it up.
That's right, because I could just see Daniel. What the hell is Blake Bowman doing? I wonder.
I wonder what song lyric Blake Twitter this morning. Let me pull that up.
Nothing.
No. He's not going
to
fight.
Give it time. No, but I'm sure he'll have something to say about it, though.
All right. That's it, man. Cue that music. Let's get out of the sack.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it. Told you, man.
Okay, then. Why not?
Wrap this up.
I don't know. Why not?
Exactly. Why not?
Oh.
By the way, I want to let everyone know God of War 3 is coming out very soon. And,
Shooter says
go get
it. March 16th, they moved it up.
Yep. Shooter says go get that because,
it's like first time in history they've ever moved a video game release date up.
Yeah. Couple things I do want to say.
I mean, they moved it back like twice already, so they're trying to readjust it, I think.
Is it like that Paul Abdul song? You take two steps forward and...
All right.
You dancing with a cat? You're gay.
Yeah, that was a good video.
That's
old school.
But I call you gay. Whatever.
Makaya Clem! All right. Anyway. This was brought to you by our friends at Ohio Martial Arts. Be sure to go check them out at ohiomartialarts.com. Also, want to give a special shout out to our friends at Ground and Pound Promotions. I personally will be joining them this coming Saturday at their card, which is going to be happening in Granville, Michigan. So if you happen to go to the card, check it out. Also, if you go to their site at groundandpoundusa.com, check out wait a minute. People don't send me messages while I'm riffing. Come on, man.
Sorry.
He's shucking and jiving.
No, it's Granville. Greenville is the card on the 6th, Kenny.
Stupid.
Don't talk to me when the man's talking. Be quiet, Junior. Anyway, you go to their website, groundandpoundusa.com. Check out the Ellison Foundation. It's really something. It's a worthy cause, especially for up-and-coming fighters, and it basically gives everybody a chance to train and follow their dream, and it's just worth checking out. So check that out. And that's it for me. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
UFC 110, Nogueira versus Velasquez. taking place at the USR Arena in Sydney, Australia. Preliminary matches, James the Tuna takes on the Igor Prokhorajak, defeats him by TKO punches. 3 minutes, 26 seconds. 3 minutes, 26 seconds of round three. CB Dalloway defeats Goran Relic by unanimous decision. Surprising, actually.
Yeah, very surprising.
I was surprised.
No?
You picked Relic. I was very surprised, mainly at CB Dalloway's submission defense. He stayed out of several umaplatas and a couple arm bars, and looks like he's not going to get caught as easy as he used to. And it was a good fight, pretty good fight.
Fight Amir again. Let's see what happens.
I swear they should just have like Amir and CB Dalloway fight every 3 months. I'd watch it every time. I love watching CB Dalloway get lose to Amir Sadala. It's just
why the CB hatred, man.
I don't like the guy. I just don't.
Really?
I don't know. I don't like him as a fighter. I don't like him. I don't like him from the way I've seen him in the press as a person. I don't know him personally. He could be a really cool guy. I don't know. But until then, I think he's a jerk, and I don't like him. Chris Lytle defeats Brian Foster. Somebody I don't think either of these guys are jerks, but especially not Chris Lytle. Defeats by submission knee bar. 1 minute, 41 seconds into round one. Yeah, I was kind of expecting your stereotypical Chris Lytle stand-up brawl here, and he pulled out the oldest trick in the book, rolled through the knee bar, and got Foster tapping like he was Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Congratulations to my old friend Chris Lytle.
Sorry. Foster came out looking pretty good, though. He was connected with a lot of punches. He was throwing some crazy hook kicks and leg kicks and did a pretty big slam, and Lytle looked really slick with that knee bar, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even see it coming until, you know, Foster was tapping out.
It's not whether or not you see it coming that matters. It's whether or not Foster saw it coming.
He didn't.
He didn't see it coming until he was looking tapping that keg.
That's right.
Whatever.
That's right. Alrighty. Bowman, you want to come in on Skype? Okay.
Yeah, please.
Alrighty. I'm going to get you in here. Get better quality, Bowman. Dum-dee-dee-dum.
Riveting radio, people.
That's right.
This is exciting.
I hear rumbling.
I mean, I'm here.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, crystal clear.
Dude, you don't even sound like yourself now.
No, I am myself.
Don't lie.
It's like he's here in the room. It's like Blake Bowman's sitting right next to you at home.
Without that troublesome smell.
Okay, moving on. Krzysztof Soszynski defeats Stephen Bonner by TKO doctor stoppage. 1 minute, 4 seconds into round three. Fairly back and forth. I'd still say Soszynski had the edge. He was probably going to win the fight by decision anyways. But he ended up, clip actually was a headbutt that caused the cut. Doctor stopped. You know, and I was a little confused by this because, okay, the cut over Bonner's forehead was, I actually, they didn't get a close enough view to show how deep it really was. But, you know, the doctor definitively stops that one, yet in the next fight, which we'll discuss, the Krokop and Parash fight, I mean, you know, that was I'd say probably a much, much worse cut, and they let Parash continue for, you know, till the end of the round.
I think the doctor said, I don't know if that guy was a ringside physician or a cut man, but I saw and heard him say no 4 times, wave his arms, no. And Herb Dean goes, fuck it, what do you want to do?
Oh, God.
Okay, so keeping with the Soszynski-Bonner fight, Bonner very upset by the stoppage, but Krzysztof ends up getting the win.
Because he's basically out of a job now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think because of maybe the way the fight ended, Bonner might get a reprieve and get one more fight. I don't know.
Not to mention Dana White has said numerous times he's never going to cut Bonner.
Why? Oh, bullshit. That's not, I don't believe that there's anybody that Dana White will never cut.
Yeah, Dana
I'm
cut,
just saying
Dana, Dana would cut his mother. He cut Moe Kingsbury's mother.
I don't care if he said it or not. I don't believe him.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Dana said, he also said Tito Ortiz would never fight in the UFC again.
That's true.
And BJ Penn.
Yeah, oh yeah, BJ Penn would never fight, yeah.
And he also said that Fedor Emelianenko was an overrated piece of shit. I mean the best fighter in the world. I mean overrated piece of shit.
That's true, too.
Oh.
Exactly.
All right. Our first fight in the main card of the evening, Miracle Krokop, God, I can't say it now. Filipovic. Because, you know, in the UFC, he's just he doesn't have a last name. He's just Miracle Krokop.
Does he fight at City Dong?
Sit your tongue, yeah.
Oh, somebody's been practicing.
Somebody's been working on their enunciation. See Derek Kenny sit in front of a mirror. Sit your tongue.
Sit your tongue.
Defeats Anthony Parash by TKO doctor stoppage. Krokop looking good here. I mean, Parash did take the fight on 2 days' notice, and Krokop outweighed him by about 20 pounds. But, you know, Krokop looking good. First round, he comes out aggressive. Second round, works some good ground and pound on Parash, and then throws an elbow, catches Parash right in the forehead.
Horrible elbow.
And then Krokop looks up immediately at Herb Dean and says, "You should probably come check this out.
Because I'm scared of falling into it." Man, nasty cut. Beautiful elbow, you know?
He knew immediately. I mean, before it even started bleeding that fight was over.
Which it didn't take very long for it to start.
Yes.
Spraying
and
blood.
And then just all over. And then like we had mentioned in the Bonner-Szczesinski fight, you know, doctor comes out, takes a look at it, there's a lot of mulling back and forth, and then, you know, they basically leave it up to Parash, which is kind of stupid, but hey, whatever.
Well, I mean, that guy is a 2-day notice fight. In the UFC Australia, he's an Australian guy.
Exactly. He's not going to quit.
He's cuz like that's his only chance.
Yeah.
That's his if he would have said, "Nah, no way. He's never fighting in the UFC again."
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Bet on that. More so than Tito, never fighting in the UFC again.
Yeah. I mean,
so he had to stay in there and fight. I mean, cuz you know, as spirited of a survivor as he tried to be,
yeah.
He may not get another fight now. I mean,
I really hope he does, because I mean, like I said, he took that fight. UFC was in a tough spot, and you know, he went in there against, you know, even though Krokop has definitely fallen from grace in, you know, recent years, he's still a very, very, very dangerous guy, and to take that fight on 2 days' notice is, you know, is a really gutsy thing to do when he got punished by Krokop. I mean, he was just beating him every way he could. This is, you know, like the Eddie Sanchez fight, only worse. And it's just Krokop stalking him down and
Krokop looked way better than any other UFC fight. That's the best UFC Krokop we've seen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm still kind of curious as to why. I mean, I think Krokop was worried about the takedown, so that's probably why he wasn't throwing as many kicks. But, and the fact that he was just pummeling Parash with
landing his left hand really well.
It's really beautiful left straights right down the pipe and just crushing him with them.
And a nice sprawl.
Yeah, his sprawl is very impressive.
I wasn't like, "Holy shit, Krokop's back," but that's the best UFC.
It's definitely a good sign, and hopefully that'll get a little confidence under him. They line him up with Rothwell. I have no doubt he's going to do the exact same thing to Rothwell. And then, you know, hopefully we can see him become a real challenger. You know, only 2, 3, 4 years after we thought he was going to, but nonetheless.
I don't know.
Better late than never.
True. Ryan Bader defeats Keith Jardine by KO punch, 2:10 into round 3. You could definitely make a case that Jardine was winning the fight up until this point.
I would have said that Jardine won the second round and he was winning the third, but I think Bader won the first one for sure.
Right.
Bader just, though, freaking has crazy power because he rocked him with his left hand and then ended up knocking him out or rocked him with his right hand and ended up knocking him out with his left.
Yeah.
And just dropped him like a bad habit. Just boom. I was like, shit.
Man, and like there was no argument. I thought maybe I saw Jardine trying to argue a little bit on that.
Right, exactly.
Argument to that, bro.
Yeah.
He's like, "What happened? You got knocked the fuck out. That's what happened."
Yeah. That's too, like I said, it's too bad. Jardine's a good fighter, very tough. I mean, he was beating Bader at that point, who's been running through everybody, but
his awkward style works against him, and Bader just made, you know, he has that raw power that just gets won through and night night. But the problem is, I mean, Bader, obviously very good wrestler, hell of a powerful punch, but he throws those, you know, wild, you know, Chuck Liddell inspired bolo punches. I mean, if he steps in there with somebody like Machida or Shogun or whoever, they're gonna pick him up. No, but I'm just saying, if he steps in there with like a technical striker, a technical striker is gonna pick him apart.
That's what I meant by not yet. I don't mean he's not deserving of those guys. I mean, he doesn't want to do that. Not yet. He doesn't want to step in there with him yet.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, those two, and I mean, any other technical striker. You put him against any elite fighter right now, they're going to pick him apart. He needs to really refine his striking.
Even Rampage will really box him up big time.
Yeah, Rampage with his boxing for sure. Yeah. Evans, Liddell would probably be able to.
Outbox him. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Thiago, man, I stand by Thiago Silva would whoop his ass. I stand by what I said though, that like that guy, I see a real future for him because he looked better last night than he did against Eric Schaefer.
And
I've never seen him not improve. Yeah. And that guy's got a big future ahead of him.
Oh, he has a ton of potential. And if he just gets a couple things cleaned up, he's going to be really, really dangerous for sure.
Exactly.
Speaking of dangerous people, George Soteropoulos defeats Joe Stevenson by unanimous decision. God.
I didn't see that coming.
I did. I'm pretty sure I picked Soteropoulos to win. I didn't think it was going to be as dominating as it was. Right. Soteropoulos made Stevenson look really bad.
I did not expect George to be able to take Joe's physicality like that, to completely take away any chance that Joe had of making it a brawl instead of a fight. I knew, it's like I've told people since the show, I'm like, man, I'm not saying that George would have beat Mac. I'm saying that for me, when I walked in there and I trained with everybody, I saw George, I said, that'll be the guy that I get fed to. That was, and later, Drago said the plans were put Blake against Richie. Blake will probably submit Richie if he doesn't get knocked out. And if he does, then we'll quote, feed him to George to make sure George gets into the semis nice and unhurt. Unquote. Where that was their evaluation. That if they put me against George, that George would fucking walk through me. And that's how I saw it. And most of the other guys in that house, I think that stylistically that George wasn't going to beat Mac, but that George was the best guy in the house on my season. And because, you know, because he wasn't in the finals, he didn't get the airtime he deserved, and that people should really – they have no choice now. But I've been saying since 2007, you better take notice of this guy. And I think that last night he removed any choice but to take notice of him, because Stevenson
– no joke.
Now, whether or not Stevenson has evolved as well as he should have over the last couple of years is not a question. That guy is a brute, is an excellent grappler, and he's incredibly strong. He throws with a lot of power, and George just took him out of the fight completely. It was target practice, man, and high level ground. Although I will say that Joe had a sick Darce counter to a guard pass at one point.
That was round. Sweet.
Awesome. But really a great, great technical display of grappling by both guys. George just was ending whenever the exchanges finally ended, George was winning out on the exchanges, but it was a really good fight.
Yeah.
Agreed. You got fight of the night, extra $50,000 for each guy.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, Soteropoulos in that first round, I mean, that's as bad as Joe Stevenson has looked since the BJ Penn massacre, and that's not because Joe wasn't fighting well, it's just because Soteropoulos was so good on the ground. That guy is a really, really high-level ground artist, and, you know, the problem is I don't know where he goes from here. You think they move him on to Shirk?
Who, Soteropoulos?
Yeah. Lord. Shirk or... I don't know.
That was Diego.
Diaz, maybe.
Diego's go back to 70.
Yeah, he moved back up to welterweight. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, BJ knocked him right out of the division. How do you like that?
Well, man.
Knocked some sense into him.
After that bad of a defeat, you have to sit back and go, man, I will never be champion until this guy retires. There's nothing that I can do. The best I can ever hope for is to beat Kenny and be the second best guy in this division. That's the best I can ever hope for.
So I'm going
to
go to the division with GSP.
Yes. So what?
I know.
He stands a better chance with GSP than he does with BJ 155.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that.
If that fight happens, I guarantee you it is less one-sided than BJ Diego was.
Yeah. probably. I don't know how good George is, or one-sided.
I think George is just going to flip him on his head and just grind him for 25 minutes. But, you know, I mean, I don't think he'll suffer the slaughter that he did against BJ. But
no. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to be taken down and controlled.
Yeah.
It's another thing to get outboxed. And then whenever you go for a takedown, not even get sprawled. Just get looked at, have the head shaken no, and just pushed off onto the ground and just been told to get off me. Start over again. Get outboxed. I got to get to the ground. No. And just, there's nothing else you can do except to leave the cage. At least when you're taken down, you can try to get control. You can try to sweep. You can try to get your guard. You can try to.
Right.
Try to submit. There was nothing he could do. Nothing except for walk out of the cage. So that's a disheartening feeling. I should know. I trained with George Santiago, and I know exactly what that feeling feels like. I don't even want to finish practice sometimes.
Oh, one thing I do want to mention, going back to what we were talking about before with Chris Liddle and Brian Foster, mm-hmm. That was Liddle's seventh of the night bonus. He got a submission.
I was going to ask. Yeah, he's gotten them for over half, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over half of his UFC fights, he's gotten a bonus.
Crazy. Yep.
Extra 50 grand for Chris. Good for him.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, it's nice to see him, you know, get a really solid win, because a lot of the Lytle's more memorable fights, he's ended up being on the losing end of. But,
yeah,
you know, it's like I said, now, if there's a guy that I you know, like...
That will not get cut, it's
yeah,
Chris Liddle.
It's Chris Liddle. Much more than Bonner, because I've rarely seen a bad Liddle fight or a light fight where Liddle, if he loses, just gets dominated. He always gives whoever he's fighting a really hard time.
He's never been finished.
Yeah.
Nope.
I mean, if you don't believe me, pull it up. He's got like 18 losses. He's never been finished.
Yeah.
And that's to guys out of his weight class. That's to Matt Hughes. That's to high level guys.
Koscheck.
Sarah.
Yeah, man, he had to get a blood transfusion after the Koscheck fight, and he just kept coming back throwing leather.
Yeah, and the Sarah fight, Lyle should have won. I still firmly believe that.
But, I agree.
Yeah,
I do. I agree.
Vanderlei Silva defeats Michael Bisping by unanimous decision. The newly prettified Vanderlei Silva.
Yeah, he looks weirdish, man.
Weird.
That facelift looks crazy. He's got like a
mask
over his face. Anybody disagree with this fight before I go into my little analysis of it?
With the decision?
The decision?
Or that it should have happened.
No.
I think the decision was correct. I think the score was correct.
Absolutely. No, I 100% agree. And I know Bisping is pissing and moaning about he wants a rematch now. He was robbed. It was complete bullshit. He won the fight. All this. I don't see that. I just don't see how. I mean, he was doing a decent job. There's no doubt. But,
right. Sure.
I mean, Vanderlei was just doing that much and more.
Yeah.
And it was obvious to anybody watching the fight, you know?
He's for sure.
Right.
No question. I mean, whatever. He could complain, but Vanderlei was just crisper. He was doing more damage. And he almost finished Bisping twice.
Yeah, twice. In
that fight. Can't see how you could say that Bisping, you know, if you're Bisping, how you could say you won the fight. I mean, and that's the thing is, I can understand how, you know, if you take a situation where it was like in England, where people, you know, with Matt Hamill, where people are like, oh, you lost that fight, don't you think so? And he's like, ah, no, this is a fight. I thought I won the fight. You know, that's fine. But that's one thing, because, you know, you're not going to say, hey, yeah, I lost the fight. I got handed a gift. But if a situation like this, you know, where it was a semi-close decision. If somebody asks you, you think you won the fight, you could say, yes, I think I won the fight, but don't go out of your way to be like saying you got screwed. Cause dude, you didn't get screwed. You got saved by the bell twice and you weren't, you know, beating him in the exchange in any of the rounds, really. So I can't see how Bisping could say that he got screwed here. Cause I mean, go back and watch the fight, man. You lost, clearly. I don't see how you can say he lost, how he won that fight.
I agree.
I would like to take this moment to withdraw my statement. I forgot about the Pitbull stoppage and the Joe Riggs cut stoppage.
Oops.
So Chris Liddle has been stopped twice by doctors, not by
right.
the fighter. He was,
yeah.
that Pitbull stoppage was garbage. That was that show in New Jersey where they stopped it over a cut that I've seen. I've seen the cuts like that not even get addressed by a cut man, really, between rounds. They put a little Vaseline on and go back to work on something else. Mm-hmm. And they stopped it because there was some blood on the mat. But that was the New Jersey card. They were still trying to.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, we're going to get MMA in New York, and we got New York commissioners coming to show them what a good sport this is. And they stopped that one off of nothing. The Joe Reeves cut was a little worse, though. But that was, what, 2005 against a 300-pounder.
You know, anyway. Speaking of getting legalized and things of that nature, was anybody else surprised at how educated the Australian fans were? How they were going freaking crazy over half of the ground game?
Surprised?
You know, I didn't think about it now that you mention it.
There's been MMA there, though, for a long time.
Oh, has there?
Yeah. Yeah. In Australia, I know that Elvis Sinisik was.
That's true.
Yeah.
Was doing pancration style matches back in like 96 over there. So it's been a decade of some form of MMA over there. And, like Hector Lombard, the Bellator champion, he's an ATT guy. I think 13 or 14 of his fights were in Australia. And like a promotion over there, some cage fighting championships, I think it's called or something. So there's been B-level shows over there, but there's lots of places where there's B-level shows that suck ass when it comes to being educated fans when the UFC finally gets there, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, this is also, you know, usually when UFC premieres in some place, it's still in the U.S. I think the culture over there is completely different. In that I don't know. Maybe they're just more patient. Maybe they're just, you know, they can appreciate more nuances instead of just wanting to see people slug each other to death.
They were into it, though, man. I will say that. Whether or not they really understood what was going on, I don't know. Because there were some times where it could be a deal, and they just started chanting their rugby chants. But whatever, man, they were into it, and that's cool to watch.
I mean, when UFC went over to England for the first time, that crowd was pretty decent, too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
They weren't, you know. But like I said, anytime they premiere somewhere new and in the U.S., it's still the U.S., you know?
Right.
So I think that might have had something to do with it.
I could have watched the Hooters for free.
It was definitely a good card, and you know, crowd-wise, and I can definitely see, you know, I know they're already talking about going back to going to Brisbane. And
yeah. You said that really fast.
That's how they say it in Australia.
Brisbane.
It's Brisbane and Melbourne. Not Melbourne and Brisbane. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Brisbane.
I'm glad you said it, because I would have mispronounced it.
I would have mispronounced.
Not the only.
Speaking of which, man, let's go out to Elvis Sinisik, because he really was probably on that card for the reason of the fact that he was in Australia, and then he had to pull out due to. What was it, a shoulder injury, I think, the week of the fights? So,
yes, injury.
So probably not going to see Elvis unless they go back to Brisbane.
Yeah.
They're actually looking at Sydney for their return.
Sydney.
No, they were in Sydney last time. They were in Sydney last night.
I thought Dana said he was.
No, I don't think it was Brisbane. It was probably
Melbourne.
Melbourne. Who cares? Australia? Whenever they go back to the penal colony. Yeah, I was upset that they didn't hate Bisping more. They should be up.
Yeah, I was about to say they definitely. It's like your ancestors put our ancestors in jail. Screw you.
You suck, Bisping.
I think that Bisping should have had to pay all of those all of the fans in attendance reparations.
Of course. out of his fight purse, yes.
Out of his fight purse. Just your show money, turd.
Oh, God.
Man, how much older did Michael Bisping look last night? Just physically, just like in the face with the hair like that and the not shaven, he just looked a little older to me.
You know, and that's the funny thing about Bisping, too, is that...
Bisping.
you know, he's bitching about... You know, that he got robbed or whatever. But right after the fight, though, you know, he's congratulating Vanderlei, shaking his hand, and all respect. You know, like, why is it, like, what magically makes fighters change their mind? Like, once
probably
they step out of the
trainers.
Is it, you know, like the Rampage Forest thing, same damn thing. Or Rampage, I whoop my ass.
you know, 10,
until
you know,
he gets, until
an
he
hour
gets
later
the press,
press conference, oh, it was Raw. Like, what happens in that magical time between the cage and the press conference room that makes you completely change your goddamn mind?
Yeah, but everybody does that with Forrest. Tito did the same thing.
I know,
Forrest, I guess, is a better fighter tonight, and then, yeah, I was robbed, I had a fractured skull.
Why does that happen? I just want to know.
Well, because Forrest can't be that good, right? Right?
Yeah, there's no possible way he could be skilled at what he does.
Forrest can't be one of the best fighters in the world. They don't have nards.
I just want to know why everybody changes their mind.
Because they're all bitches.
That's right.
Except for Nick Diaz.
He ain't
no bitch.
Right. Cain Velasquez defeats Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira by TKO punches, 2 minutes 20 seconds in the first round.
They calling it TKO? Last night they were calling it a KO.
Well, okay, TKO, KO, whatever. What, there's still no real distinction between the two, but
they knocked
the T, the T is parenthetical. The T is parenthetical.
Knockout of the night, by the way.
Velasquez is the truth, folks.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't I call that one?
Brandon
I
Beerus,
think I called that one.
I think you did. I think Paul and I were pretty sure that Big Nog was going to take this one without a whole lot of problem, and
yeah, we were wrong.
Mistaken.
Yeah. And known to happen.
Once or twice.
Well, I don't know. The craziest thing about this one was Velasquez was looking great right off the get-go, hitting heavy leg kicks and throwing good combinations. Oh. And then Nog throws this really good left, catches Kane right on the button, then Kane throws a 3-punch combination and Nog hits the ground. I was like, holy shit. No. Watch that one 3 or 4 times.
Man, I'm still not, I wasn't entirely impressed with Kane's boxing. I know that sounds horrible because he won by hands, but his kicks looked really good.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. He did.
His kicks look really, really good, which is good for him. You know, he is a wrestler. I'm sure that he's a good enough wrestler. He can throw a kick, get it caught, and still fight the takedown off if he wanted to. And I know that that guy's D1 tough. He's a legitimate certified D1 badass, you know, high-level wrestler, long time, whatever. But, man, that was his 8th fight. That was his 8th fight. How do you feel if you walk out for your fucking 8th MMA fight in front of 20,000 people, the main event, and then you look in the eyes of one of the all-time legends of this sport, no question whatsoever? That's what I was saying, and then they cut to Buffer, who's the best in the business. They cut to Buffer building, you know, introducing Cain Velasquez, and he was looking at Minotauro like someone who grew up watching his dad beat his mom, and then his dad started beating him, and now it's his 18th birthday.
Hey, Jens Palmer?
And he's decided he's going to whoop his dad's ass. That's exactly what Cain Velasquez looked like. He was looking at Minotauro, sort of like repressed anger, and I was like, man, he don't give a shit who that is. And he went out there and he won me over. I was one of the people that was saying, man, this guy needs to be built up a little better. He doesn't need to be hyped so much. They need to keep building him and Carwin up on the back burner and build one legitimate contender out of those two guys. But man, I think that last night, like he shut me up. I'll be the first one to admit it. He went out there and stayed composed against somebody whose just reputation alone could submit you. So.
That's all
I gotta say. That was me taking a little bit of humble pie, I guess.
There you go. Where's Velasquez go from here? Who's his next fight?
He's already lined up. He's next, got the next title shot
Dana
after
White.
Mir and Carwin.
So you mean the next interim title shot?
No, Brock's coming back.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an interim
title. We probably won't see him fight again until fall or winter, but
man,
it sucks.
And this is a guy who last night fought his 8th fight, and now 75% of his fights have been in the UFC.
But you know, if his next, he's got to have a fight between them, because I mean, if his next fight is a title fight, he's going to have to wait. Yeah, he's got to wait for Mir and Carwin to get their shit done, and then he's got to wait for the winner of that one and Lesnar. So you know, that's March. That's, you know, the soonest afterwards that Mir and Carwin could do there, you know, the winner of that fight could do Brock, is, barring some, you know, complete blowout where the guy doesn't get hurt at all, it's 3 months. So you're looking at June at the earliest for that fight. And then another 3 months after that for the winner of that to get ready for Kane. That's, that's a 9-month layoff for the guy. That's not going to do good for him. I think he needs.
No, it's bad.
I'm not going to say he needs one more fight to prove himself, but he needs one more fight to stay sharp.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know,
man, he could fight the winner of, who's Stefan Struve fighting?
Roy Nelson.
He could fight the winner of that one.
That's true.
Yeah, I can see that.
Who would win that fight, Paul?
Roy Nelson, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sticking to my guns.
Okay, Roy Nelson and Cain Velasquez, you're going to pick Roy Nelson?
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that actually wouldn't be too bad of a pick. Like, I'd say keep Dos Santos clear of Velasquez because you can still have, you know,
contender.
Yeah, you can have a contender Dos Santos put on, you know, on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, save him. I don't know, unless you want to dust the mothballs off of Heath Herring or something, and let Velasquez beat him up.
Mm-mm.
You know,
nah, he's not coming back.
Or I don't know, bring in someone from the outside.
Tank Abbott.
let Velasquez and Kimbo go at it. I don't know.
Yeah, that was...
But yeah, they're gonna have to give Velasquez some fight, and you know, that's dangerous, because anytime you give somebody a fight that's, you know, considered a tune-up fight or whatever, there's always the risk that, you know, that's gonna spoil your day, but he needs at least one more fight. Just to stay sharp, not to necessarily prove himself.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've answered, you know, who's next for Velasquez. What's next for Nog?
Oh.
Some seminar time.
Yeah. Back to Black House. Yeah, Chick Congo.
Yeah.
Hard to say. I mean, that was, I don't know. I'm still kind of
stuck. I mean, do you see Nog hanging it up?
No. Not yet.
Okay, so you know, so hanging it up's out of the question, which I agree. I don't see him hanging it up either.
I'm not okay with it, actually. I'm not okay with him retiring.
Yeah.
Oh, I would be okay with it. I just don't think he will.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I would have no problem with it.
I mentioned it earlier on. I may have been before we went on the air, but we could see, you know, Nog Crow Cop 2.
Maybe.
Crow Cop beats Rothwell.
Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, make that one happen.
All right, exactly.
Bad Blood 2, Crow Cop in white.
You know, and they
batter bloodist.
And this fucking guy.
They could build that one up too, because, you know,
fucking Croatians.
Because Nog and Crow Cop and Pride was a
great fight.
You know, a really good fight, and really, you know, Crow Cop was really just pounding on Nog until Nog got his, you know, typical Nog submission, and that was, you know, that was Crow Cop's closest brush with the Pride heavyweight title. You know, the one that got away, as much as Crow Cop dominated in Pride, he never held that belt, and that was the closest he came. And, you know, that the fact that they could rematch that, I think they could build that up real nice. I would really like to see that fight happen. So,
And especially with Dana White, for whatever reason, saying, oh, don't rule out, we may do fights under the Pride banner again sometime.
Oh, you won't.
First of all, no. Leave it alone. Stop digging up your grandmother, man. Leave it. Let us have fond memories of her.
Yeah.
You know, second of all, I mean, if you're going to do it, that's the only possible headliner.
Yeah.
With soccer kicks. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I do not want Pride 33 rules where we're in, where we have American weight classes and you know, no elbows, but American rules in 5-minute rounds. Yeah. So let's do it for real. Soccer kicks in 10-minute rounds. We see who the men are.
Yeah. And you could tell during that Parash fight that Crow Cop would have died to have thrown some knees off those sprawls.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. He would have just pummeled the crap.
And let's all go ahead and talk about Wanderlei Silva.
Oh,
barely,
yeah.
Barely
restraining himself from kicking off Bisping's head.
That kick to the neck. Man, he was holding the cage and everything.
That would have been bad.
Not for me, it wouldn't have. I mean, I would have hated to see Wanderlei lose, but man, sometimes you just got to trade good for some better. And it'd be worth it to see Wanderlei lose, to see him get 2-3-4 off.
Because what's the referee going to do? Shit. Nothing. You ain't gonna get in between that.
Yeah, exactly. Stop that. Stop. See you there.
Oh, God.
Rookie Kondo, fucking take this. And this and this and nine more look just like it. Have a nice day.
They should put Vanderlei in there with Frank Trick.
No.
Yeah, that would be fun.
No. No.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Or Frank Shamrock. There we go. Vanderlei and Frank Shamrock. So Frank mentioned how Vanderlei doesn't have any power.
Give him a power kick.
His kicks and knees don't have any power.
Yeah. I don't know. It just scrambled your brain. I don't get it.
My brother's a juicer.
God.
But in case you were serious about the Frank Trigg fight, not going to happen because whatever reason, UFC will not let him fight at 85.
It was a joke.
Where he's best at.
I would have loved to have seen it.
I mean, I'm still down to see it whenever. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch in the parking lot.
So that wraps up for UFC 110. Next thing we have on the horizon is until March 6th, which is WBC.
Good.
Because we're completely ignoring the Strikeforce.
Yeah, screw that. The Strikeforce challengers.
Apparently some of you actually listen to what we say on the show.
Trevor Frankley's on.
And don't, you know, like, I didn't realize we did this, but I guess we brushed off this last UFC card, which, by the way, would have been a mistake if we did that, but.
I thought it was a good card.
Yeah, jeez. I don't think we ever said that this card was gonna suck. We said that UFC 109 sucked.
I just find it odd that three people who don't know each other approached me and said, well, I decided not to watch the card because you said it would suck. I'm like, I did? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. While you're at it, I say, send me money. Send you your money. Jesus. People are going to listen to me about everything. God. Oh. Blake Bowman is the second coming of Howard Cosell.
There we go.
So
that is correct.
Speaking of WEC, I don't think we had got your opinion on this one. What do you think of WEC moving to pay-per-view?
Man, unhappy.
Well,
yeah.
You gonna buy it?
Man, no. I'm gonna have to go.
Oh, I mean, you're really?
I mean, I'm gonna have to go somewhere else and watch it at like some sports bar or get together with a group of people. And watch it, you know, at somebody's apartment like I did last night. And while, I mean, that's kind of neat, you know, I get to go with the guys and stuff and get some chicken wings or something. But I like the WEC because it's on a Sunday and I can just come in and the end of my rest and relaxation day, if I'm in a training camp, I can just watch fights for free by myself. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to worry about a $50 bump on my cable bill. I don't have to have a bunch of people come over and everybody throw some cash in to get the fights or whatever. I can just hang out by myself and watch the best quality MMA on television.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, do you think that WEC deserves to be paid for their product, or do you think?
For
you
sure. Know,
yeah, I mean.
But then again, you have to ask, how many times have the UFC insert number here only on pay-per-view been outshone by the UFC Ultimate Fight Night that preceded it by a couple weeks, you know?
True.
I mean, how much better? I mean, is it a curse? Is it voodoo? But I mean, they've never done a bad card for free, you know, and almost all of these fight nights have been as good or better than the close accompanying pay-per-view card. If they put it on pay-per-view, are we going to start seeing a decline in the fights? I can't think of any logical explanation as to why that would be the case.
Yeah.
That these pay-per-view fights are not as good as the free fights, but it's just a simple fact. If you look at it over the last year, or last 2 years, the WEC on Versus has been, in my opinion, the best product on American television, followed by Ultimate Fight Night, and then the pay-per-view shortly thereafter.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I can't see it changing just because all of a sudden they're on pay-per-view.
Right.
I think WEC should have started lower. They should have started at $30.
What's it going to be? 49.99?
It's either going to be 45 or 50. It's going to be.
It's 45.
Yeah, it's 44.99. Yeah.
But it'll be 55 to get it in HD, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think.
Which I will. Lower.
I can't, you know, I know we talked about this before. I can't complain. I mean, the free ride's been great and, you know, it's gotten to the point, well, like I said, I mean, these guys do deserve to get, you know, more, and hopefully this is going to mean more money for the WEC fighters, and I think they've earned that money. Like, I'm just hoping that it's not going to be a failed experiment and lead to, you know, ultimately the end of WEC, where the point where they end up getting folded in the UFC or whatever. I think that'd be terrible. Okay. I think it would suck.
A travesty, if you will.
Yes. So. We shall see. We shall see, and I think that'll wrap it up for us this week.
Yeah.
Look at that. We managed to not go on any diatribes or go off on any tangents.
Told you.
Sorry.
And for the second week in a row, we're under 4 hours. Hell's yes.
Yeah.
I could have if you wanted. I get to say congratulations to those guys today, whatever it was that I did. No, I'm kidding. The American Top Team Level 2 Certification Course, ATT offers for any, like, mainly it's for traditional martial arts gyms or for smaller martial arts gyms, they can get certified through ATT. As a level 1, level 2, level 3, which means that they're not actually an American Top Team school per se, but that they are an affiliate and their instructors do come down every few months and train like an intensive seminar with Laborio. This particular one was Laborio, Roger Crawl, Old Man Doug, Malachi, Cole, and myself, and Gabrielle. So there were some good guys there helping them out with everything. We just go over a lot of stuff with them and you know, they come down there and they can kind of affiliate and get certified with us. So we had the graduation today. That's why Cole was still with me. So congratulations to all those guys. Any of them are listening.
Woo!
Sweet.
So, congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah. you got to get Kimura'd by Cole Miller and Darce choked by Blake Bowman in the same day. Have a nice day.
Woohoo!
Funny story. Laborio is teaching the Marcelo Garcia, the North South Monson choke, whatever you want to call it, on Cole, and he's moving, and like he stops and he's pausing, and Laborio has no idea how good he is. Okay, no matter how often we tell them, Laborio has no idea that he really is a jiu-jitsu god. He's one of the 10. You know, anybody that knows anything about Laborio and Jiu-Jitsu says he's one of the 10 greatest of all time, no questions asked, probably one of the 5 greatest of all time, no questions asked. And whenever Carlson Gracie says, I've had a lot of students who are all-time greats, but none more than Laborio and Murillo Bustamante, that means something. So teaching this choke, and he stops, he's talking, and Cole's sitting there, and then Cole kind of like taps lightly, 3 times, and I don't think Laborio felt it, and then Cole's hand just drops to the mat. Oops.
Oh,
and Laborio didn't feel the tap, and he goes, now I'm really going to make the pressure with my shoulder, and so I'm just driving his shoulder to the mat. And he goes,
Cole Miller.
And then eventually, I'm going to start sinking my hips down. He goes, Magreen, can you move? He goes, are you fucking kidding me? And he sits up, and Cole's like, he's like going... And then Cole looks at him, he wipes his eyes, he kind of smiles, he starts breathing, and Laborio goes, are you kidding me? And Cole goes, does it look like I'm kidding? He's like rolls over on his side and like goes in the fetal position, like he was still in a dream state. and then one of these, it's some guy from a karate school somewhere that's getting certified, basic intro to MMA, he goes, at least we know that one works.
Oh, God.
And then Laborio goes, man, are you kidding me right now, Cole? And Cole's like, I'm not kidding. And he looks up, he goes, okay, I need another volunteer. And everybody's like, nah, no way.
Yeah, that's okay. All right, man. Good.
No way.
It's like that scene from Confessions of a Dangerous Mind or something. That's hilarious.
While Cole's waking up on the side of the mat, like smiling with this goofy drunk look on his face. Does it look like I'm kidding? Yeah. All right, so that was a fun story.
That's a good story.
I didn't volunteer, by the way.
I don't blame you at all.
As a matter of fact, during the world, whenever Fila did the World Grappling Championships, they did it in South Florida, and for whatever reason, I was an alternate for the team. I didn't even know that. I thought Labor was asking me just to come in and help give the somebody to roll with. Apparently, I was an alternate. But so he's using me to show that exact choke, and he put me to sleep. As a matter of fact, I remember him putting me to sleep. Everybody laughing about it at the grappling tournament. They're like, "Oh, are you okay?" But that's the same choke he put me to sleep. So Laborio, be mindful of when you smash the shoulder down for the Marcelo Garcia choke. For all of our sakes, you're better than you think you are. Which he's not listening.
It's all fun and games till someone loses an
eye. He might be listening. You never know.
He doesn't have a computer.
Damn it.
Like he'll come up to me. He'll go, Blake, did you get my text I sent you? And I'll go, no. And then he'll get his phone out and he'll look at his text and he'll go, and he'll respond to whatever I text him 2 days ago verbally while he's looking at his phone. Except, he's like, yes, I am going to be there on Monday. I'm like, obviously it's Monday.
We're here. All right.
Oh, God. Man. All right. Have a nice day.
All right. All right. Up for us. Good stories. Good times. Bowman, it's good to have you back.
Good to be back, man.
Crystal clear audio, too.
Yeah, yeah. Audio sounds awesome, man.
Yeah.
And
well,
you don't know we're here every Sunday.
Oh, yeah. You want me to know that?
Yeah.
I have internet in my place. I just bought that new place and I've been kind of displaced since Thanksgiving. But no, I got a new place and I got internet in it and all that good stuff. So, true that.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to join us next week when we will be running over the WEC card that will be coming up on March 6th, going through another stack. God knows what else. Bowman, you'll be with us next week?
What?
Will you be with us next week?
God knows what?
All right, then. Thanks for tuning in. I'd like to thank our friends at OhioMartialArts.com, TappersLeap.com, PWIPop.com. Be sure to drop us a line, ringsmma@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, hate mail, especially for Derek.
If you got hate mail, send it to ringsmma@gmail.com.
Hit us on Facebook, twitter.com/Scorcho. And what's yours, Bowman?
ATT Blake.
twitter.com/ATT Blake. Yeah, if you're still one of those people on MySpace, I suppose you can look us up there, too. But we don't do anything with that site anymore. La-di-da! Thanks for tuning in. We'll see y'all probably, yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Goodbye!
Bye!
Looking for something to represent your sport, but you don't want to look like another mall rat wannabe? Then head on over to TapperSleep.com. TapperSleep has serious gear for serious fighters and serious fans. While other fightwear companies spend their money on a big bus and funny costumes, TapperSleep spends theirs on their clothes, giving you stylish, durable gear that'll hold up under the toughest conditions. Whether you're rolling on the mats or rolling down the street, TapperSleep has a wide selection of t-shirts, hoodies, and hats for men or women. So head on over to TapperSleep.com right now and get your gear today. TapperSleep. Seriously. Good. Fightwear.